Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
Wangari Maathai has been first at a lot of things. She was the first woman in Central Africa to hold a PhD and the first woman head of a university department in Kenya. And, of course, the first African woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004. She was elected to Parliament in 2002, where she still serves. In her memoir, Unbowed, Maathai writes about her rise as an activist. In the 70s, she founded the Greenbelt Movement, responsible for planting more than 10 million trees to provide firewood and combat soil erosion. She told Steve Paulson where the idea for planting trees came from.
Well, there were actually several points from which this inspiration came. But one of them is the United Nations Conference on Women. I remember listening to the women from the countryside, and they brought in a completely different dimension. They were talking about the felt needs of rural women. They said their issues was clean drinking water. They needed clean drinking water. They needed adequate nutritious food. They needed an income. And they also needed wood fuel, especially firewood. And for me, it struck a bell, partly because I grew up in the same countryside that they were describing. And during my childhood, I was living in a place which was so rich. Water was very clean, the rivers were clean, they were full of fish, and there was woodlots all over, so I used to collect firewood for my mother. So what the countryside they were describing was so different from the countryside that I knew as a child. And that's what one of the major triggers. So I actually asked the women, well, why don't we plant trees? I, of course, was planning for a small project that would coincide with the United Nations Conference on Women. I wasn't counting on spending the rest part of my life planting trees. But that's what I did, because the minute I started with those women, one thing led to another, and then that led to another. And eventually I had a big program that was addressing a lot of issues, many of which had to do with the fact that our environment had been very poorly managed by those in charge.
Well, one thing that becomes very clear is that some of those things that you mentioned, for instance, clean drinking water, wood to burn, I mean, those would seem to be just very basic resources that everyone would need. But they turned out to be very political because, you know, people are vying for those things. And some people, those in power, don't necessarily want to give those up.
Precisely. You know, these communities, especially in the rural areas, were depending very much on primary resources, on land, on soil, on forests, on rivers. And people in power, and especially at that time in developing countries, they had actually literally abandoned the welfare of their people, and they were very busy enriching themselves, acquiring these primary resources, either selling them or privatizing them. And part of the degradation of the environment was due to this mismanagement and acquisition for personal enrichment. And it was when we discovered that and we started addressing those issues, we started addressing the issues of corruption, and we started addressing the issues of human rights violations and disrespect for the rule of law and complete disregard for the poor, for the majority of the people. That's when we got into trouble. But by that time, I had come to appreciate the fact that if you have a very corrupt government, a very unaccountable government, it's very easy to destroy the environment, and especially the primary resources on which many poor rural populations depend. So instead of dealing just with the benign activity of planting trees, I found myself trying to dislodge those in power from these resources and demanding that these resources be managed properly for the benefit of the common good. And that's what became very political. Eventually, we had a critical mass of people who were demanding that environmental rights are human rights, and we need to have a clean and healthy environment.
There's so much talk these days about Africa in general, and of course it's dangerous to generalize too much, but I mean, this is the continent that is often viewed as the one with the most difficulties of anywhere in the world. I mean, huge levels of poverty and disease. Are you overall, I mean, are you hopeful about the future of Africa?
Yes, I'm very hopeful. Of course, those of us who went through the independence period, and we are very, very hopeful that we would do better than we were doing under the British and the French and other European powers, have been very disappointed that our leaders let down their people. We also know that to a certain extent they did that because they were supported and encouraged by the superpowers and their allies, and that for a very long period the African people were sacrificed at the altar of the Cold War. But we hope that with the new renewed leadership in Africa, because a lot of the old guards are now being replaced by new leaders, and also I see, for example, in the African Union, that there is really a new desire to manage Africa better, that eventually African leadership will work for Africa and work for the African people and stop being selfish and greedy and corrupt and siphon resources and take those resources to other countries, or even allow their resources to be exploited at their expense. It all has to do with leadership, and that's why I've committed myself so much to governance, because if you have bad governance, it doesn't matter, even if you have a lot of resources. Africa is a very rich continent by comparison. There isn't anything we don't have, but we as Africans have continued to be poor, mostly because we are badly managed. And so the challenge really lies on our leadership to be able to use the resources on the continent for the benefit of the people and learn to govern the people more responsibly and more accountably. So, of course, I do have hope. And of course, I do hope that even the new generation will come again and try again to do the right thing.
Well, I wish you well, and I wish you luck. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Nobel Peace Prize winner Wangari Maathai. She spoke with Steve Paulson about her memoir, Unbowed, which tells the story of her career as a politician and environmental activist in Kenya.